is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Buenos dias. Yes.
Hello.
Konnichiwa, is that good morning?
I should probably know that.
Anyways, it is the Carmichael Dave Show. You don't hear Carmichael Dave's voice, but that's fine. He'll be back in studio. I'm going to guess within the next 60 seconds, go. All right, we'll time it from there. Big, big day to talk about. I love Mondays just because there's so much going on in the sports world. We have a new U.S. Open champion. Although, I don't know if that's the real story at the U.S. Open. Is the real story at the U.S. Open Jon Rahm winning the title? Or is the real story at the U.S. Open Bryson DeChambeau's back nine? Because let me tell you, that was the one thing I was paying more attention to than anything. Like, I'm not one to come up and dance on someone's grave. I'm not a Bryson DeChambeau fan by any chance. However, I don't like watching guys melt down yet. It's like a train wreck. I can't stop myself. Super intriguing. We got that to talk about. Of course, the NBA playoffs. Some huge game sevens. Big game sevens. Monster size game sevens. Nets, Bucks, an all-time classic. We had a knockdown dragout last night with the Sixers and the Hawks, which, hey, man, who had the Atlanta Hawks in the Eastern Conference Finals? I lost the bet, by the way. 60 seconds goes by. He's still not in the studio. That's fine. I can keep going. All time fun stuff with the NBA this week. Clippers getting into the conference finals for the first time in their 50-year history. And now we have four teams playing in the conference finals. And some of them have never won a title. The others haven't won a title since Nam. So it was a great weekend at the NBA playoffs. Hey, how you doing there? I lost a bet with myself.
Keep going.
No, it's fine. Hey, remember like when you were in the studio at like 5:59 and I told you the thing?
You told me the thing. No,
there was two things. I told you two
Actually,
things.
Two things.
And they're kind of intertwined. I'm going to guess that the clock threw you off, right?
Want to roll with that?
Okay,
so not only the clock threw me off, but the other thing also threw me off. I knew about the other thing.
Yeah, let's go with the clock. Just stay with that.
I should not be here, but I am. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How you doing, Disney Dad?
Oh, boy.
Your selfies with turkey legs turned me on.
Let me tell you something, dude. That's the best buy at the whole place.
The turkey? Oh, yeah. The turkey leg and the churro.
And it's an $11 turkey leg. Like, don't get me wrong. It's not like it's a great buy.
Isn't that like...
But it's relative.
That's right around State Fair prices, though, right?
That turkey leg is an entire dinner.
Oh, God, yeah.
If I'm being honest.
It's like 2 pounds of meat. Hey now.
At least. I mean, so it was like $15 total because I also got a corn on the cob. So I polished off the corn on the cob because it just looked great.
Yeah.
And the kids all wanted to go on the Incredicoaster, and my wife loves that.
The Incredicoaster is awesome. I haven't been on it since transforming into the Incredicoaster, but same vibe.
They had fun with that. I was like, nah, I'm good. I will hang out here on the pier. And I found this corner that was shady. And I unwrap this turkey leg, and juice immediately starts going down my forearm. And I'm just sitting there. I mean, God knows what I must have looked like to passersby. I'm tired. So.
You finally found your Disney bliss.
I did. 24.87 miles in 2 days walked.
Wow.
Yeah, that, according to the watch. And that might be low. Because the trams that take you from parking to the parks, gone. You walk the whole way, and that in itself is about a mile each way. Excuse me. So, day two, we're at the California Adventure, which is more of your, like, Eastern Seaboard, Atlantic City kind of look, Ferris wheels and all that stuff. And they decided to ride the coaster twice in a row. I was all for that.
So how'd they get it twice in a row? Was there no line?
Lines were low, dude.
Really?
Everything I was hoping for the most part, worked.
And I
figured it out while I was there. So the yearly pass people, the locals, right, pretty much eliminated.
The psychos, I'm sorry.
Eliminated. because they don't do the passes now, right? As of right now, season passes are gone.
Oh.
So what you have is you have all the people that made these park reservations. There's still no way it's at 100%. But that was, I found out that's a big secret. They purposely aren't putting out what Disney is at capacity, but it's not 100. It's, they have to ramp up to that.
Sure.
Plus, you had backlogged reservations. They just opened it up.
Are they still social distancing on the rides?
They are not.
Ah, that's a big deal.
So they dropped the social distancing last week, but the capacity's probably around 60 to 70%.
Yeah, but without that social distancing on the rides, that's huge.
Huge. So on top of that, normally what you'd have is you'd have these locals that would come in, you know, sometime in the afternoon. They'd sleep off the night before, roll in the afternoon, and finish out their day there. Well, what you have now is you have all these out-of-towners like us. Well, the first day we got there right at the open, and it was, we got there, the park opens at 9. We got there at like 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even get in the park till almost 9:30 because parking and everything else is congested. Everybody gets there in the beginning. They rush to all the popular rides. Then they do everything. And then as the day goes on, they realize, oh, wow, there's not a lot of line. So by the time early afternoon rolls around, they're done. They're good. They've ridden everything, and sometimes they've ridden it twice or three times. So they go home, and then afternoon, evening, where you'd have that normal influx of locals. Yep. So Saturday, we ended up staying there until almost close. And just to give you an idea, Pirates of the Caribbean, five-minute wait. If that.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm talking, when I say wait, I mean I would take out my phone, and as soon as I passed the marquee to start walking down the line where it was, there was no line. You just walk. I was 3 minutes and 48 seconds from the start to getting on. I did Star Tours three times in a row.
Wow.
Just would leave, come back.
Did you manage to get three different scenarios each time?
That's so nerdy. So I got Yoda, I got Anakin, Admiral Akbar, and I got Darth Vader.
So you got three different
ones.
That's awesome.
Smuggler's Run was about 25 minutes, which is about a third of what it normally is.
Mm-hmm.
Cars Land one, the Radiator Springs, that was about a half hour, and that's normally 90
3 hours.
Minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, Radiator Springs is usually the most packed ride. It's also an awesome ride.
It is, except I'm 0-3 now on the Radiator race. I always lose the race.
Really?
Yeah, 0-3.
Jesus,
when
man.
When I say only, I mean I've gone 3 times.
I mean, still, you have a 0% win percentage. That's bad.
There were a couple downsides, but the only unfortunate thing, because my wife and I were talking, we thought this might close the book on our Disneyland experience.
At least with the kids?
I think by the time the next time the kids go, they'll probably go with their friends.
Right.
You know, when they're 18, 19.
Make you feel old.
13 and 12 right now, I know.
And to cherish that last moment with your babies.
We may tag along as grandparents someday.
The Pirates.
But I've done, like, I'm good. And by the way, Disneyland's probably ruined now, you know, because
are
so short.
The next time you go and there's lines, you'll never be able to. Yeah,
I don't want
to
do it. It was a good little capper on everything. The only reason I would probably ever return is the nighttime experiences were not functioning. So. To me, maybe...
No parades, no light shows.
No.
That sucks.
Maybe the best thing, I think, at either park is World of Color.
World of Color's amazing.
It makes, we talked about this before, it makes Bellagio look like squirt guns. It is a 28 to 30 minute spectacular. I would like to see that. I would like to see that one more time. But
one more time.
Other than that. It was a lot of crap food, overpriced, of course.
I feel like overpriced doesn't do that justice.
It really does.
Like, it's highway robbery.
It is.
It's like someone went and got just a bunch of frozen food at Costco, fried it up, and here you go.
I would say the last thing is it cost for 3 day park hoppers, and what an idiot getting 3 days.
Did you use all 3 days?
No, we didn't even think about going on Sunday.
I feel like Disneyland, after 2 days, if you do each park, like, you're good. There's really nothing else left to do.
There was no
reason. Maybe head to Downtown Disney the next day for some quick shopping if you forgot. That's it.
Nah, we met my sister for breakfast in her neck of the woods Sunday morning. How about this? The surprise of the weekend. We meet my sister in her neck of the woods, in her part of L.A., for breakfast. Mm-hmm. And at the breakfast table, before my daughter had any idea what's going on, my sister just kind of looked at me and raised an eyebrow and said, you know. And I went, you know. And my wife went, you know. Oh, and then five minutes later, after I get on the old Southwest app, my daughter went with my sister for 2 weeks. So we left Avery down in L.A. for 2 weeks.
How did you get so lucky?
I mean, let me tell you, you want to talk about a dad win.
That's not a dad win, bro. Hey. That's like hold up the O'Brien trophy of dads right there.
Larry O.B.
I think you got the Stanley Cup dad trophy.
Quietest ride home in
history. Oh, yeah, Magoo ain't talking.
Magoo, when he wasn't passed out. Magoo was watching. I had the U.S. Open on the little phone, boy. So he could see it.
Oh, we got so. I can't wait to break that.
Oh,
I'm excited.
Melissa fell asleep. It was bliss.
So you have the U.S. Open with no one talking?
No one talking. No questions. No, I got to pee. Can I get something to
Doesn't
eat?
Doesn't that like 6-hour drive get like significantly better when you could just zone out?
It's a big reason I'm in here today. Now, I was supposed to be either off today or broadcasting from home. I got back yesterday about 6 p.m. I was like, I'm good. 2 weeks without my daughter, who, of course, annoys the hell out of me. But I will say this. An hour on the road, I turn to my wife and I go, are you sure we did the right thing? I do kind of. She should be here. I miss her.
Oh, shut up. Did we do the right thing? Did my poor sister, like, is she going to have to deal with it?
My sister didn't have kids, so this is the closest she's going to get. And they already went bathing suit shopping yesterday and went to a pool party. Like, it's on.
With the cheer moms?
No. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
Oh, my goodness gracious. What a Monday. It's one of those Mondays you'd pay to do this job. So we've got Scott Howard Cooper on at 8:05 to talk about his Steve Kerr book, which is phenomenal so far. Chris Mannix, the only media member who did not vote Tyrese Halliburton Rookie of the Year. He'll come on and explain himself at 7:35. And oh my God, baseball, NBA, U.S. Open, Leading Off starts next.
It's time for Leading Off, brought to you by Lasher's Elk Grove Dodge, where for over 60 years, their name means a great deal in the Elk Grove Auto Mall and online at elkgrovedodge.com. Here's cut number one.
John Rahm takes one last look at the hole. Gets the ball started on the left-hand side, breaking back down to the right. Break ball. It's in! John Rahm with two big, huge fist pumps gets him to 6 under par. With a birdie finish, he takes the lead in the 121st U.S. Open.
The voice cracked. How about that? What a couple weeks for John Rahm, huh? Hey, let me ask you this.
An emotional roller coaster, some would say.
Yeah, when he was being informed at the Memorial, going in with a 5-stroke lead on Saturday, you think if they'd informed him then, hey, listen, dude, we're going to boot you out of this tournament, but the trade-off is you win the U.S. Open.
He's good.
You think he's doing the World Series dance, running like, I'm good.
Bro, I think every single golfer in the history of golf, if you told him, hey, we're going to boot you from the Memorial, but you get to win the U.S. Open, you get that $12.5 million. Yeah, I'm doing that. That's a super nice trophy.
121 U.S. Opens. No one had ever birdied the final two holes to win by a stroke. In 120 previous U.S. Opens, that simple thing, which, listen.
It's not simple.
I get it.
Clearly.
But you'd think in 120 U.S. Opens.
That's Bryson DeChambeau.
Birdie in 17. Yeah, Bryson DeChambeau. Woo!
That back nine was like, it's that train wreck you couldn't turn away from. To me, that was the biggest storyline of the day. Not Rahm winning, DeChambeau choking.
It actually... Everyone watches golf, and everyone becomes a golf fan and roots for different players for different reasons. I have my issues with Bryson DeChambeau. It actually made me like him more because I can identify. Because Bryson DeChambeau is not a robot. Bryson DeChambeau is like any of us. On the fourth day, after putting together 3 days of good golf, in some cases
three and a half,
he blows it on a hole, then blows it again, and then it's all, dude, it was everything but throwing the club.
Yeah.
And
which I'm at that point, I would have thrown all the clubs in the water.
We'll talk a lot about this because at one point, the leaderboard was a who's who of golf, all with the two strokes. Then they just started falling off like flies. And for about an hour, Jay, it was in my mind, and I got to think it was other in other people's minds. You had DeChambeau in the lead, and you had Koepka a stroke back.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, could we be this lucky?
Get a playoff?
Could we have a playoff at the U.S. Open with Koepka and DeChambeau? Oh, my God, right?
Dude, that's must-see TV. That didn't happen.
And who would have thought that Koepka was sitting there going, Joker?
Is that what he was doing? Not Joker, but
trying to do Bradley Whitford and what was it, Billy Madison?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. What was that? The hyena laugh or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Number two.
Leading off, cut number two.
Young holding the basketball, and the Atlanta Hawks defeat the 76ers in Game 7 here in Philadelphia, 103-96.
29-7 was the regular season home record for the Philadelphia 76ers. And the Hawks went in there, and well, they
saw their prey.
No one saw this except apparently Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, he saw it all right.
We're going to talk about these playoffs a bit later. This might be taking all Kingsness aside. You know, I get out of the Kings fan world and O2 and all that. Might be my favorite playoffs ever.
I'll tell people this. Don't get used to it. Enjoy it while it lasts.
It's so fun. It's so what the hell. Both ones.
We need
are
that
gone.
So much in the NBA right now. We just need a nice shot of what the hell.
And as I said last night on the social medias, I'll repeat it now. I'm rooting for anybody but the Bucks to win the title.
Really?
I'll tell you why.
Because they've won one before.
They just won one 50 years ago.
Right.
And I'm joking, obviously. I'd be fine with many teams.
The Hawks weren't in Atlanta when they won one, guys.
50 years ago was the last time any of these 14. Clippers have never won one. Hawks have never won one.
St.
Louis Hawks, excuse me. Suns have never. And
the Bucks hadn't done it in 50 years.
A lot to talk about. And hey, listen, what a couple of weeks for me. To start standing Ben Simmons. Just an amazing feat by me. And now Ben Simmons is the most talked about person in these playoffs.
Is he?
Yeah, not for the right reasons.
Because there's someone else 76er related that's also getting a lot of talk to.
We'll talk about that later. Number three.
Leading off, cut number three.
A dominating Giants win. As the Giants beat the Phillies 11-2.
Well, Reese Hoskins did get a chance to go yardage on Saturday in front of his hometown crowd.
It was the Kings jersey he wore in, the Pacers jersey he wore in.
46-26 are those San Francisco Giants.
Hey, is that good? Is 20 games above 500 decent?
call me in late August.
Okay, we're still doing that.
And we'll be doing it until late August. When late August rolls around, I promise.
Oh, it doesn't matter until they're in the first round. First round, they'll win. NLCS, it doesn't matter if they're in the World Series.
Hey, if they make the playoffs, I will admit that this has been a phenomenal year.
Okay,
so,
thanks.
So far, it's been fun. They maintain pace with the Dodgers or vice versa. 1.5 back for the Dodgers. 5 games back for the Padres, who've won 4 in a row.
Yeah, doesn't matter, though.
No. Meanwhile, the A's are in an effective tie. For first place, percentage points behind the Astros, who have won 7 in a row. The A's have lost 2 in a row, still 7 of their last 10. We'll get into that a little bit later on in the program, but we will take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, let's get back to this U.S. Open real quick, because we have so much NBA to talk about as well, including could the Kings, is this where Monty McNair's looking to strike? I think it is, and I'll explain that later. U.S. Open, my goodness gracious, a lot of drama. This was a fun tournament. We'll talk about it next.
Like a radio cockroach, you just can't get rid of him, no matter how hard you try. Back to the Carmichael Dave Show.
Kick it! Welcome back. 1-800-920-1140. 339-1140. You can text us at 916-339-1140. And hey, YouTube chat. It's still YouTube chatting. Chris is very excited about Prime Day. I know.
I just have so many thoughts that I should probably keep to myself, but one I'll put out there is I guarantee you he's the guy that buys $400 worth of just crap because it's on sale.
Yeah.
Like, no other reason to buy it other than it's a deal.
Well, you know, the analogy is this. You know the people that roll around in the lifted trucks with the flags and the muscles and the, you know, I've got high testosterone. You know, they're putting it out there, which is what I like to call SDE.
Yeah. So I have a similar name for it that I can't.
So Chris is that guy with things like Prime Day. I'm the one driving in the commuter car that you never suspect. Just rolling around.
Are you?
Not nondescript. Just keeping to myself. But I'm the real culprit of Prime Day.
I know, I already saw
I'm
you.
I'm already in that in
Mach
that,
3 razors with 10 refills? What do you need Mach 3 razors for?
Hey, let me tell you something. I like them because I have sensitive skin. And I got all the refills. I got a new razor and 10 refills for $16.
You don't go electric?
Nah, I can't. It pinches. I don't
like
it.
What do you mean it
pinches? And then there's hair.
You just need a good razor.
There's hair everywhere.
Oh, my God. Put something down.
I shave in the shower, Holmes, where it's nice and steamy. And I got a little mirror and everything. You know, it's good for my skin. And I got a tower fan for my room. And
do you not moisturize?
I do. What do you mean? What does that have to do with anything?
Well, because your skin, if you have
I moisturize. Okay. I do all these things. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, I get a razor burn.
Yeah, I know what it is.
There's great deals out there. And by the way, this isn't an ad. We're not affiliated. We get no money.
Well, don't. Jeff Bezos needs our promotion.
Jeff who?
Bezos.
That's another one. Where did you pick that up?
I like Jeff Bezos.
Bezos.
No, it's Bezos.
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 Bezos?
Yes.
Okay.
It's how you pronounce it in 17 different countries.
But I will say this. For those of you looking to cut the cord, for those of you who've been thinking about cutting the cord, or for those of you who just want to, like, I don't know, have a TV outside or anywhere, those 4K Fire Sticks right now are usually $50-$40. They're like $17.
Really? I need a new one. I need another one.
I might just pick me up a couple just as reserves. Well, that is an insane price.
Because my Fire TV is like, I have one of the older ones, so like I can't get the Apple or the Peacock. So I need a new Fire Stick.
I don't think
Fire Stick's have, because I have a Fire Stick.
I don't think Fire Stick has Peacock right now. I think Roku has Peacock. I can't get. Fire Stick doesn't do Peacock.
Yeah, we need Amazon and NBC or Comcast or whoever is the overlord of Peacock. Peacock, excuse me.
Peacock.
No, it's Peacock. Okay. To handle that, thanks.
I can't do these types of bits with you anymore. I've noticed.
What bit?
No.
Who was doing a bit?
John Rahm was doing a bit.
At two, John Rahm, after the big tee shot and the fantastic wedge, now just 2 feet to get within one of the lead. He widens his stance, and he's put it right in.
And
he widens his stance and puts it right in, baby.
I said, I can't do those bits with you.
Why? It's not a bit. It's expert analysis of the...
You do not have nuance.
I listen, sir. You may be doing a bit. I'm doing radio and breaking down the U.S. Open and John Rahm's stance.
Pat still came in during the break to inform me that a gentleman who passed away 9 years or 8 years ago, I don't know why he brought this to me now. He was 91 years old. He had attended at one point 700 consecutive Alabama football games. I think he went. He ended up somewhere near 800 before he passed. And the gentleman's name was Dick Coffey.
Okay.
This is his real name. You can Google it. I'm not doing a bit.
Yeah, Richard Coffey.
No. His name was Dick Coffey.
Richard Coffey.
Nope.
How about you be mature?
No, I'm being mature. I'm reporting the news, waiting for you. Go ahead.
He was a big Alabama football fan.
Come on, Roger Rabbit. Shaving a haircut.
Nah, man. Listen, if you're shaving roll tide, baby. Haircut. He probably got buried with a big A on. Forrest Gump throwback helmet. Like, I get it.
Louis Oosthuizen.
Obama.
More like Oosthuizen.
Bro.
Louis Oosthuizen looking for 5 under par in the tie. Down the slope. Now needs to leg it out to the cup. He made it.
Louis Oosthuizen tied for the lead at the U.S. Open with 9 holes remaining with his birdie at the 9th.
So Rahm is finished. I think Louis on 15, down one. Did you think he was coming back to take it? Because I sure did.
Rahm was coming back?
No, I thought Louis was going to come back.
So did
Rahm
I.
Is,
so did
Rahm
I.
is finished. So Louis has like 3 or 4 more holes.
So did I. This reminded me a little tiny eensy bit of Francesco Molinari, Tiger Woods, or the Masters. And Molinari was just in the zone, the robot zone, I like to call it, where no emotion, looks unflappable. And then he ended up, the pressure gets to everyone. And Louis Oosthuizen has gone over a decade in between majors. He'd won the Open, the British Open, back when.
And it's tied for second like 5 different times on 5 different majors.
Has a grand slam of second places and a third place finish in a major.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple seconds and thirds. Really has done about as well or better in majors simply by place as anyone over the last decade. Very, very good. And he had the lead, and it as you saw DeChambeau blow up. You saw Rory McIlroy was making. You had DeChambeau, Rahm, Koepka, McIlroy, Colin Morikawa, Justin Thomas.
Who's who of golf?
I mean, really, truly, the top 10 at one point was like 9 A-plus names. And
which
then,
is what you want.
Which is exactly what you want. And then you had people starting to fall apart. This is John Rahm at 18, a huge, huge putt.
John Rahm takes one last look at the hole. Gets the ball started on the left-hand side, breaking back down to the right. Break ball. It's in! John Rahm with 2 big, huge fist pumps gets him to 6 under par. With a birdie finish, he takes the lead in the 121st U.S. Open.
Louis Oosthuizen, like a lot of these guys down the stretch, was finding none of them trusted driver.
No.
They were hitting driver, but they were hitting driver and saying, screw it, let's look for a tasty lie somewhere in the rough,
mm-hmm,
and get out from there. And they were just finding themselves in trouble. Louis Oosthuizen got in trouble, but he still managed to have an eagle attempt at 18. This would have created a playoff.
From 69 yards on a nice line, onto the green, right by the cup, and now trying to spin it back, but it's not going to happen.
There's little joy in this. He already has the second place grand slam of majors. For the birdie, rolling it down, now at the cup, he made it. A valiant finish for Louis Oosthuizen, but 1 too many. Shoots even par in the final round, 71, and 5 under par for the week, second place.
Those aren't booze. Those are ooze, as in Oosthuizen or loser. Here's the thing.
Dude, you...
No.
Wow.
I'm going to bring it all back because in all seriousness, you heard the start of that clip. I'm just going to play the start.
There's little joy in this.
Jeez, man.
Louis Oosthuizen takes home $1.35 million. I want to be at a place in my life someday where somebody can say to me, as I'm grabbing a check for $1.35 million... for playing 4 rounds of golf over a weekend at one of the best courses in the world, I want somebody to say to me as I'm grabbing the check,
loser.
There's no joy in this for Carmichael Dave as he takes the check for that would, before taxes, buy his dream house in Roseville, California. Poor Dave.
See, here's the difference between you and Louis. Dave sinks that putt, right?
100%.
Guarantees himself a second place. Dude, you are fist pumping like Tiger Woods after winning the Masters.
100%.
With your Steak'em sponsored polo on it. You want the big check for second place. Like, no. I know John's getting 12.5, but baby, I need a big check too.
1.3 million for second, 2.2 for first, 829,000 for third. However, $87,941 for 26th place.
A par for the defending champion. It was an exciting title defense until about an hour ago. 77 today, though, for Bryson as the U.S. Open finally got to him.
Okay, that clip doesn't tell the whole story.
So the front 9, Bryson DeChambeau is 2 under.
Can we put it in real perspective? The first eight, he's five under.
Correct.
Leading right. after eight.
No, no, no. I mean two under for the front. Not five under overall. But
no,
two.
I just meant I starting after eight, he was five under. He's leading.
He has the lead. Starts out 10, fine, par. Bogey, bogey, double. Par, 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 quadruple, including a chip shot that I've done many times, mm-hmm. where it's a simple little 10-foot to the green chip, and oh my God, it went sideways.
As he's losing, it was hard to watch, but that hole specifically was just brutal.
Lord.
Was it? I'm trying to think. I think it was the ninth the par three? Or the 10th was the par 3 that you saw him hit it out of bounds almost. And it was just, you saw this dejected look on his face. And after that, it was just downhill. And that's what's crazy about golf, man. It's just one bad shot can throw your psyche off, and it's a wrap.
Lost in the shuffle was a gentleman named Richard Bland, who is being put up along with Phil Mickelson as the oldest folks, or amongst the oldest, to have the two-day lead or to be tied for the two-day lead at a major. In this case, Richard Bland, the Englishman, tied for the two-day lead at the U.S. Open. He finishes 77-78, 50th place, 8 over par for the tournament. He takes home $27,000 for his efforts.
Also, we haven't even mentioned Russell Henley.
Yeah. Pressure's a real thing, dude.
And it got to him.
Pressure's a real
leading
thing.
Leading through three rounds and then, nope.
We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice! Coming up next.
Yeah, that was a rough acting to act in for Mr. Henley there. And you know what, though? Screw it. You're playing golf professionally. Deal with it. NBA playoffs. Oh,
suck
my God, do we have a lot to talk about, including a clip I haven't heard yet Jay put together from Josh Smith. Talking about a doctor?
He was talking a lot about a doctor.
Glenn?
Glenn.
We'll do
Dr. Rives.
All right, we'll talk about that now.
One is bald, the other completely lacks talent. And they're both here to entertain you. It's the Carmichael Dave Show on Sports 1140 KHCK.
Kevin whips it underneath at Yucca Congo. Back to Kevin. Kevin Herter fakes. Now he steps back. He shoots a three. And he makes the three.
Please. Red velvet, baby.
Man. Please, Kevin, don't hurt her. You're like, please, Hammer, don't hurt her.
I got the reference.
27 points, 7 boards to lead the Hawks.
Because we all had Red Velvet being the guy that would lead the Hawks in a Game 7 to go to the conference finals, right?
Such a wonderful nickname.
Also, isn't it the most 2021 NBA playoff thing?
So had you told me Sunday morning, as I was beginning my trek home from Los Angeles, had you told me that this game in Philadelphia would have featured 31 points and 11 boards from Joel Embiid, 13 assists from Ben Simmons, 24 and 14 from Tobias Harris, and Trae Young going 5 of 23, I'd have said, oh, 15 or 20-point win for the Sixers.
Right.
Somewhere in that neighborhood. Yeah, no. 103-96. The Hawks, who on the season were 16 and 20. On the road against the Philadelphia 76ers, who I believe are the best home record in the NBA.
Also best record in the Eastern Conference. Pretty good team.
Becomes the second one seed in 72 hours to get tossed. As the Jazz went home as well. And they're so
By the way, the Jazz went home as well.
They did. You know they did.
So happy.
And what?
Screw Joe Ingles, man.
What's incredibly interesting is you now have probably the two best defensive players in the game under fire. And Rudy Gobert's best friend right now is Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing keeping – I mean, listen, there's still a ton of heat on Rudy. Which, by the way, the heat on Rudy to me is far more unfair than the heat on Ben Simmons.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, because Rudy Gobert is being taken to task. And, by the way, Rudy Gobert is not perfect.
But Rudy Gobert got – took to task in the fourth quarter of that game.
But what we don't throw in, what this is where social media just sucks when it comes to analysis.
Because they decontextualize everything.
Yeah, because we're not focusing at all on the perimeter players for the Utah Jazz being turnstiles. Turnstiles J.
Dave, what you're not focusing on is the fact that the Clippers were running their offense at the defensive player of the year.
They were.
You can make the turnstile argument. They were. Their entire offense was to go to the basket at him.
Their entire offense. And by the way, I've questioned Ty Lue before. You got to be fair.
We shouldn't anymore.
Ty Lue had a masterful series. Ty Lue answered a lot of questions, maybe some unfair, that I had about Ty Lue.
I have a question for you. I don't want you to answer it now. I want you to think about it. You have to restart today and you pick one coach. Is it Ty Lue or Doc Rivers?
Okay. Ask me that later.
Yeah. Think about that one. Let that one marinate for a second.
I'm not. You talk about context, and I think also black and white is such a big issue. I can't full-throatedly defend Rudy Gobert because it would be wrong. Because Rudy Gobert had a rough series in some aspects. But the idea of blaming, which most are, the series on Rudy Gobert and his exposed defense. No, what the Clippers realized is that they can go at Gobert and collapse him and then kick and they hit their outside shots.
Mm-hmm.
You're still not going at Gobert and going to have a ton of success in the key.
But they did. They did,
if
though.
If it's just Gobert, if the perimeter is doing anything, he had no help. And how many times did we see Gobert doing what he shouldn't be doing, which is running 5 to 10 feet out from under the basket, contesting shots?
There was a lot of times, though, they would get those threes and he wouldn't close out. He would stick by the basket.
And part of that is because that's what he's supposed to do under the guise of their defense. But you need perimeter defense. He had none. It was one defender for the Jazz.
But I don't.
And we're killing him for it.
Yeah, we're killing him because when they would go at him, he had no answer. And when they would actually take the ball at him, like to your point is fair about going at Gobert, kicking out for a three, guys closing out. I understand that. But the Jazz perimeter defense isn't exactly been great all year. It's just you have that anchor in the middle. And there were so many times that they would go to the basket and he'd be so slow to react.
Sure. And I think part of the reason he'd be so slow to react is that what the Clippers did that was so perfect with Rudy Gobert and the Jazz, they forced Rudy Gobert to have 1 foot in the ocean and 1 foot on the beach. And so what you call and what a lot of people call slow to react, I call indecision. Because if he comes out on the perimeter to contest, they're going to dunk.
Yeah.
And if he stays put, which, by the way, he should, they're going to be left wide open because that perimeter defense already was in Cabo.
I didn't really see the narrative that Gobert cost in the series. It was more that the narrative I saw was, is Gobert the best defender in the NBA?
Or
did that get exposed?
Exposed is the word. Like Rudy Gobert. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think Rudy Gobert got exposed. I think if you want to, Rudy Gobert got exposed as a tremendous interior defender, the best in the league. But when Rudy Gobert is rushing out to contest shots, that's not his strength. It's just not his strength. And Quinn Snyder, whether it was a coaching failure or whether he just doesn't have the personnel, he did not put Rudy Gobert in a position to excel.
I think it's more of a personnel issue.
I think it is,
There was nobody he was going to stick on the perimeter that was going to slow that down at all. They just don't have that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of in-game adjustments,
yeah,
because that's going to be a narrative for a while, Josh Smith, who once stole, I think, something like $80 million from the Detroit Pistons, got loose on his Instagram account last night about Glenn Dr. Rivers and his lack of in-game adjustments.
Yeah, Doc Rivers, you talked all that shit about Paul George and how Tyronn Lue was going to have the same office for that shit your bum up, man. Yo, no in-game adjustments having, man. Start giving they real credit, man. That's why your got that on your ass and you can't get past the second round, man. You done did all these written wrong, man. Look in the mirror and confess your mother truth. Are you still, or you'll never make it out the second round? Yeah. ESPN, get on his ass, bruh. I'm on his ass tonight. Get on his ass first thing in the morning.
Hey, man. I finally.
Hold on.
Get why your wife almost left you, man. You don't know how to make in-game adjustments. You don't know how to make in-game adjustments. Everybody figure this out, man. You don't know how to make in-game adjustments, man. And don't nobody really like your cap.
Yeah, you're losing your power.
Told you got loose.
Josh Smith is a piece of trash. That's trash. I don't.
Were you fine with it up until the wife?
Yeah, like, yeah. The wife thing.
That's where it got
what
loose.
What are you doing? Now, I'll asterisk Josh Smith is a piece of trash. Here's the asterisk. If we find out someday that Doc Rivers like stole Josh Smith's girlfriend or there's some personal thing, we
sure.
But on the surface, that's so trash. His analysis, by the way, burying a guy when he's down is one thing, but we're analyzing the game. That's fine. That's fair, and Doc's a big boy. I don't disagree with the – it's a fair criticism. Now I know why your wife almost left you. Were you drunk?
I think he was.
Josh.
Drunk or high, one of the probably both.
I know. Here's what we won't see as we take a break. Things we won't see Monday, June 21st. Josh Smith on IG Live later today. I just want to apologize. That was
you don't think that's
going to
be a thing?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to call Doc Rivers or publicly apologize, which is what somebody with class would do. Mm-hmm. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
That's sad. All right. Soundgarden, we'll start off the second hour. Charles Barkley on Ben Simmons. Tyronn Lue on who people should root for now. And Devin Booker in there as well. At some point, I got to check if we have the clip. I want to see Shaq had some things to say about Ben Simmons. Doc Rivers, speaking of, I want that clip. Doc Rivers asked about Ben Simmons as well. We got a lot of sound to play for you. We'll start it next.